Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. It's so cold over to my lighthouse that I am putting together this CD this morning here in my dining room because I couldn't get up and down the hill very good because it was so icy. So I'm glad to be able to join you. And you tune me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. Some of you tuned in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. Others of you tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we are now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. And others are listening by way of my website. By the way, what you do on my website is pastorkenharger.com. That's my website address. And you go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Just kind of put your little scroller on Messages from the Lighthouse, and you will see there's something about the message. And then it says media, recent media, and then that's where you want to click. And there's also, if you want to listen to some old ones, there's some that says past radio broadcasts. So join me on Messages from the Lighthouse, and then click on media, in the recent media. Okay, I got that right. Hope I haven't confused you. But anyway, I'm glad to be able to share with you. We're getting ready to head to Florida and spend some time just relaxing and hoping to be in a little warmer climate than it is here. But we're looking forward to that, and that is something that is very special. I need to say thank you to those that help with the cost of the broadcast. And so first of all, I want to thank Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from the Orleans area, and God's blessing be upon her. Gay London in memory and honor of her husband. She's from the Greenville area, and her husband was Dave. Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. And Marie is in Dayton, Tennessee. And then Doug and Noreen Lane family, they've been supporters for a long time, and they are up in Sheridan, Michigan. And Bill and Judy Hammond from the building area is one of our recent contributors to our broadcast, and we appreciate that very much. Need to say thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for sharing, putting together the music for this morning. And then I always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. That's where I pastored for 50 years. Still attend there when I'm in this area. Saturday evening, our worship begins at Shiloh. Saturday evening is 6:30. Sunday morning, it's 9 o'clock. A contemporary service at 10:45. And in the Greenville campus at the old Lutheran Church, located by the new McDonald's on North 91, that's a morning service Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Well, that takes care of all the things I need to take care of, and I just counted the privilege to be able to share with you. And my message this morning is going to be talking about Jesus. He was able to touch the touchable and the untouchable. He healed the lepers and he healed the blind. But you know what he did through all of this? What I want us to learn this morning is what he did through all that he did was the realization that he lets us know that he is approachable. We can come to this one Jesus. He would like to have us come to this one Jesus. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And as we get ready for that, we got to listen to a song. And this song is telling us he said it all, you know. He said so many things to so many people that gives us the realization that he really was a people person. He really wanted people to understand that he loved them and he cared for them and he wanted the best for their life. And so we'll listen to this song, then we'll come right back in just a few moments and share the message with you. God bless you, and thank you for tuning me in.
When Jesus said peace and the storms they obeyed, or when he spoke to the leper, I'd like to have seen a man's body made whole. When he said, be thou clean.
When he said to the lame man, rise up and walk, I'm sure those that gathered all started to talk. short legs. This Jesus has power in each word that he says.
When he spoke to the winds and the waves, they obeyed. When he called to the tomb, Lazarus rose from the grave. As he hung on the cross, angels listened for his call. Finished, he said it all. We've seen the changes the winds of time bring. When a man's words are twisted to mean anything, where a word and a handshake are old-fashioned thoughts, where a lie is a shame only if you get caught.
And though we get weary of misdeeds below, I still know gold. Every knee's gonna bow and the world's gonna learn that he meant what he said when he said he'd return.
When he spoke to the winds and the waves, they obeyed. When he called to the tomb, Lazarus rose from the grave. As he hung on the cross, angels listened for his call. Said it all.
On an old rugged cross, sin's debt has been paid. Glory to the King, he did exactly what he said. As he hung on the cross, angels listened for his call. But when he said it is finished, he said it.
I would have been, I would have loved to be there when he said so many different things to so many people. And you know, the realization is that when he spoke, he kept his promise. I love it in that song where it reminds us of the realization that sometimes people take and twist the words of one another today. And I love the idea that when the song mentioned that fact of a handshake used to be a good enough between two people, but things have changed tremendously. But I want us to learn this morning that things haven't changed with Jesus. One of the words that's been on my mind this week, and we'll be mentioning it again a couple times maybe this morning, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. And we need to know that, and we need to believe that that's what he's trying to teach us. That this one Jesus is the same. And what he said in the past, he always fulfilled. And what he said, promises he's given to you and I, he shall fulfill as well. Well, let's just have a word of prayer, especially for our listening audience, that God might just bless our time together. Dear Father, once again, I come into your presence on behalf of the listening audience. I thank you for each person that's tuned me in this morning. I don't know what's going on in their life, Father, but I do know this, that you can help them meet the need of whatever it is. So, Father, there may be those this morning that's tuned me in that's discouraged, and I pray you'd use this message to encourage them. There may be some that feel like they're defeated, that's like, this, what's going on in my life? Things just seem to be unraveling. I pray that they'll sense your presence with them this morning as we see how you went and touched the lives of so many people. Dear Father, I pray that the listening audience would learn this morning that you are approachable. And that's why I come to you on behalf of them and ask that whatever it is that they need physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, within their family, within their friendship circle, within their body, within their soul or mind, that Father, you would reach out and touch the listening audience this morning in a very special way. Now come and honor your word, Father. We love your son, and we thank you for your son. And we thank you for what he's accomplished for each one of us. And I pray now that you would minister to us as we look into your word, that we might gain something that's going to help each and every one of us. And I'll thank you, and I'll praise you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, dear people, when Jesus came to earth to be a man, he didn't come to sit on a throne somewhere. He came as a humble, approachable man. That's what I want us to think about today. He said, follow me. And one time we're going to learn this one. He said, I'll come to your house today, to a tax collector. And to the disciples sometime, he said, come apart with me for a little rest for a little while. Jesus invited people to be with him where he was. There was nothing fancy about his invitation. He simply invited people to be his friend. He wanted people to feel comfortable and safe in his presence. He's approachable. And if I want to be like Jesus, I too must be approachable. I must not be holding people at arm's length. I must not be standoffish, so to speak, the word that I like. Jesus, listen to this now, folks. Jesus opened himself up to others. That's what he came for. He reminds us he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to remind us that he came to invite, to give us an invitation, but more than that, he came to invade our lives with his love and his kindness and his goodness and the blessings that he brought with him from the Father. Because as we get to know Jesus, we get to know what all Jesus is about and all that Jesus brought with him. So we're going to be talking today about the different people that Jesus touched their lives in so many different ways, because he would reach out and touch them. I like to think of the master's hands touching these people that sometimes were untouchable and sometimes maybe didn't even want to be touched as an individual. I like what the Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, 8, that's why I got that verse that I just quoted for you this morning, just a few moments ago. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. If you think that God is unapproachable, Jesus is here to tell you, God is not unapproachable. I love the idea that there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And Jesus is telling us that he's approachable because God the Father wants you to understand that you can approach him. And he wants us to learn that he's not only the same, but that he got the invitation that he gave in the past. He's also can give that same invitation to each and every one of you. The same Jesus that made himself approachable to the people in the time of his ministry on earth, he's reminded us in God's word that he's approachable for each and every one of us as we come to realize that after he finished his dying process on the cross of Calvary, he went to heaven after he was seen of mankind. And right now, at this moment, right at this moment, folks, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And you know what he's there for? He's there to make intercession for you and I. The scripture speaks about that this approachable God who sent his son, the Lord Jesus, who was showing us that God was approachable, wants to do something in your life, in my life. In the book of Hebrews, in the 4th chapter, it's talking about this one Jesus. And I want to read it from the King James this morning. Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession of faith. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But he was in all points tempted like you and I. And yet he was without sin, and that's what makes the difference. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Let me say that again. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. You see, what Jesus is showing us in the scriptures we're going to be looking at this morning is that he met people that were in a time of need. And he had compassion upon him. He had feelings for them. When it tells us that God is touched by our weaknesses, sometimes it's translated, God is touched by our handicaps, by the things that seem to control our life. God was touched in the person of the Lord Jesus when he was on planet Earth. And God is touched today with whatever it is that you're going through, whatever difficulty you're facing this morning. We need to realize that God's telling us this one, Jesus, is touched with the feelings of whatever you're feeling this morning that's causing you to be discouraged, causing you to feel like you're defeated. And that weakness that you sense, Jesus is so desired to help you, to give you a touch from his kindness. And that's what we need. We need a touch of God's kindness. We're living in a pretty cruel world, folks. I got to tell you, all the garbage that we hear on the TV about our political world is scary. It's really scary that those are the people in our leadership. And we need to realize our confidence can't be in our presidents and our governors and our political leaders. We need something better than that, something bigger than that, because we don't have much confidence from that. So what we really need is to realize that what we have to have in this day and age, because of all the difficulty that we may face, is a touch of the Master's hand. And he wants to do that for us. May I say it again? This one, Jesus, is approachable. He wants you to speak to him this morning. He wants me to speak to him this morning. He wants me to know, and he wants you to know, that he's never going to leave you. He's never going to abandon you. He's going to be there with you, that you might have some confidence in him. And that's where our confidence has to be this morning, is in this one, the Lord Jesus. So what I want to do for the next time, the rest of the time that we have, is I want to go back and show some people that Jesus touched when he was here on planet Earth. And like the songwriter just said that we listened to in that song, I would love to have been here with him. You know, sometimes don't you wish you could have been back at that period of time and watch Jesus one day when he's going to deal with some people that were called lepers. And he's going to minister to them in a day in a very special way. But first, I got to give you a little background so you can really realize what Jesus was going to do. In the days of Jesus, there was a dreaded disease called leprosy. It would be connected to what we call cancer because it was a dreaded disease. The disease begins with little specks on our eyelids, on the palms, and gradually spreads over the entire body. It bleaches the hair white. Whenever they appear, clusters that affect parts of the body are covered with white scales and causing terrible sores and tremendous swelling. From the skin, the disease eats inward to the bone, rotting the whole body in just from the inside out. In Christ's day, no leper could live in a walled town, though he might live in an open village. But whenever he's going anywhere, he was required to rent his garment. His robe was to be ripped apart, describing his great, deep grief that he was in. He would go bald-headed and to cover his head with his mantle. He had no warm passers-by to keep away from him. He had to warn him. He had to cry out constantly, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." And he could not return a salute or salutation, since in the East, this involved an embrace. The belief was that this disease was very contagious, and it was. And that caused this group of people called lepers to live amongst the lepers. They were living with one another, all dealing with the same kind of thing. And one day in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 40-45, I want you to know that Jesus touched the untouchable. Jesus knew what the law was. It was a law from God. They had to show themselves to the priest if they were ever healed of this disease before they could be reinstated into community. Nobody could touch them. They were untouchable. But listen to what it says. A leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean," because he was unclean. Then Jesus moved with compassion. All of a sudden, without even any realization from that leper, he stretched out his hand and he touched him. He touched the leper. And he said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus moved with compassion, touched him. And he said to him, "I am willing that you be cleansed." And as soon as he spoke, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him that he sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer your cleansing those things that were told to you in the book of Moses, the commands, as a testimony to them." You know, I think it's so important to realize Jesus, the Son of God, reached out and touched an untouchable man. And I can't imagine what that must have meant to that man when all of a sudden Jesus touched him. He was coming and he was knelt down on his knees and he was crying out for the Lord if he was willing to do something to help him. And all of a sudden, he feels a touch of the Master's hand. Many times you can read in the scripture that it is said of Jesus that he was moved with compassion. I want us to learn this morning that when you have compassion, that's what's able to make you be approachable. If you have compassion, and I want us to think of what this thing called compassion, what I think of it is. It is a deep, heartfelt emotion that in that moment of time, as you look upon this individual, as Jesus looked upon this leper, Jesus suffered the pain that he was suffering. You feel the pain of another person, and that leads to action. It surely did in the life of the Lord Jesus. It led to the action of him touching that leper and saying, "I will that you be cleaned. I want you to be clean." The last thing that leper would have ever expected was a touch from the Master's hand. Compassion, as we look upon others, I believe as we look upon them, we do so from our heart. Let me just go aside for just a moment and share a couple of things that's on my heart this morning that's helped me to learn these kinds of things of compassion. The idea of looking upon things with your heart. I remember when we had a large group of children in a children's program in the middle of the week. It was on a Wednesday. We used to call it FBI. It was Faithful Bible Investigators. The FBI was pretty popular at that time. And so we even had kids that we bought T-shirts that said FBI. And the kids would go down to Shiloh to school, a lot of the kids. And on Wednesday, they would all wear their green shirts with FBI. "We're going to FBI tonight." Well, one day there was a couple that there was adult Bible study also while the FBI was going on. So the parents just didn't have to bring them. They could be in the adult Bible study. And there was a boy that had been coming right along. And then one day his parents, his mother, brought another lady with her, and she had a son. And so both of the boys went down and did FBI. And sometimes they would color pictures, do some different kind of craft thing that they would do at the end of the day. At the end of the evening, well, got over, and the two women were visiting upstairs, and the two boys came up. And the one boy trying to make the other boy feel really welcome and acceptable and so on. He said to his mom, "Look what Johnny did." And he took the paper that the young boy had colored and handed it to his mom. His mom just glanced at it and kept right on talking and handed it back to him. And I'll never forget this the rest of my life. It's been a part of my life for a lot of years already. And it's one of the things that taught me what I'm talking about. The little boy grabbed a hold of his mom's sweater and started pulling a little bit. And he said, "Mom, Mom." And she finally turned to him and said, "What do you want?" "Mom," he said, "when you look at that picture, you got to look with your heart. You got to look with your heart." He did this. And boy, I'll tell you, Mama was spoken to. She looked at the picture again, then she complimented the little guy. You know, that stuck in my mind and heart. I heard all of that. I seen all of that. You got to look with your heart. And that's what Jesus was doing. As he looked upon the leper, he was looking with his heart. He was looking with his heart to let him know that he really cared, that he felt the pain the leper felt. And this idea of being unclean, another thing that's a part of my memory of my life that's helped me through these years. We have a cabin up in the Kalkaska area, and I was going hunting this one year, and I really wanted my wife to go along with me. So I said to her, "You know, I'll do hunting in the daytime, and then we'll run into Traverse City, and we will do some Christmas shopping." Well, that kind of satisfied her to go deer hunting if we're willing to do going to do some Christmas shopping. And so we went, and I'd go hunting the first day, and you know, you get up really early, and it was cool and so on and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I came home that first day and reminded myself, you know, we said we'd go Christmas shopping. So Traverse City was about an hour away. So we headed into Traverse City about 6 o'clock in the evening because it got dark quite early. And we headed into Traverse City and we did the shopping. Well, we didn't go on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, we decided to do it again. And so we headed into Traverse City and did the shopping. You know, about that period of time we was coming home, it was getting about 11 o'clock or so. And I was on 66 and just about ready to make my turn onto the road that takes me to my cabin. And I turned onto the road that takes me to my cabin. I'd met another car coming, and I didn't think anything about it. We dimmed our lights and so on, and I turned onto the road, and then I started down that road, and all of a sudden, that car that I had met evidently had turned around, and he was behind me. And all of a sudden, there was the flashes flashing away. And he pulled me over, wanted my proof of insurance and so on. And he went back to the car and looked up to see me and so on, what was going on in my life. And he turned his speaker on in his vehicle, and he came back and was talking with me, and all of a sudden it came on the speaker, and it was a cold winter night, and I had my window open, and this is what it came on the speaker. It says, "Ken Harger is clean." "Ken Harger is clean." Well, that policeman says, "I just give you a warning." I said, "Well, what did I do?" And he said, "Well, you crossed over the center line just a little ways before we met each other." And he said, "Up here about 11 o'clock, if a car passes over the center line, we always stop them because they might be drinking." And he said, "But you're clean." "You're clean." I thought, man, that's good to be able to say, "You're clean. Ken Harger's clean." Well, you know what Jesus was able to do for this leper was make him clean. He could go now and he present himself to the priest and make the little offering that was expected. And then he could be restored to the community. But that's not the only one. He was the untouchable. But I want to spend some time now on how Jesus healed a blind man. This blind man is going to be able to teach us some lessons as well. But before we do, we need to listen to a song. And this song said, "I was a blind man, but now I see. I was a blind man, but now I have the ability of sight." and it's made so much difference in my life. Well, we're starting out pretty strong, so let's listen in, and I'll be right back in a minute.
There was a blind man in a distant land who did not understand God's saving plan till Jesus saw him, had mercy on him, told him to wash and his eyes would open. Well, he washed the clay away, his night was turned to day. Then he heard a scoffer say, you can't be healed this way. Could you explain to us, who is this Jesus? Is he the least of us? What can you tell us? And this is what he said. Though I don't understand, I still will stand on this promise I've received. And I don't need to know how he made me whole. No, I was blind, but now I see. I was a blind man in a distant land. I did not understand God's saving plan till Jesus found me, put his arms around me, said he'd gone to Calvary just to prove he loved me. Well, he washed my sins away, my night was turned to day. Then I heard a scoffer say, you can't be saved this way. Could you explain and tell how you've been spared from hell and how that all is well? Sounds like a fairy tale. So this is what I said. Though I don't understand, I still will stand on this promise I've received. And I don't need to know how he made me whole to know I was blind, but now I see. Though I don't understand, I still will stand on this promise I've received. And I don't need to know how he made me whole to know I was blind, but now I see. Though I don't understand, I still will stand on this promise I've received. And I don't need to
I was blind, but now I see. What a difference that makes when a person has the ability to be touched and all of a sudden he has his sight. There was a lot of blind people when Jesus was here on planet Earth, and Jesus ministered to them. He wanted the blind people to know that he was approachable. And I'm going to talk about three different blind people as we bring our time for the rest of the time that we have. And these three different blind people are going to teach us some lessons. First of all, we need to realize that there was two blind men sitting alongside of the road. And Jesus was traveling down that road. It's recorded for us in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 29. Now, as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude of people followed him. And behold, there was two blind men sitting by the road. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they began to cry out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. And when the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, the Son of David. So Jesus stood still, and he called them and said, what do you want me to do to you for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. They followed Jesus. Once again, it is said of Jesus that he had compassion. I believe that's what moved Jesus to help them. What is this thing called compassion? Remember, I tried to share it with you a few moments ago. I've come to think of compassion as a deep, heartfelt emotion. That in the very moment as you stand before that blind person, the Lord Jesus is feeling the suffering of blindness that these two men have. He's experiencing it in himself. And that leads to action. And that action is he reached out and he touched their eyes. And when he touched their eyes, they could see. I would have loved to have been there. I'd love to watch somebody that had received their sight for the first time. You know, the crowd didn't understand. The crowd that was going along with Jesus and they were headed to the next city. They were just on their journey, thinking Jesus just on his journey. And those men were crying out, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. They were crying out to him. And the crowd said to them, shut up or be quiet. Be still. Almost like saying, he don't have time for you. Don't you see? We're on the move to the next city. There's people in the next city that need to hear about him. There's people in the next city that need his healing. But that's not true about Jesus. Jesus has gotten them to know he's approachable. The crowds are making all that noise, but Jesus is something different. You know what it says? All of a sudden, Jesus stood still. He stopped. They were telling the blind men, the crowd was, for them to stop crying out. But instead, Jesus stopped. And when Jesus stopped, the whole crowd would have to stop. And then Jesus cried out to those men that were blind. And he said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, that our eyes might be open. Just think, they are blind, standing in front of Jesus, but they cannot see him. They've never seen a person. And now they're standing in front of the Lord Jesus. They have his attention. He is approachable. And he's approachable with kindness. He's approachable with compassion. The crowd was not looking upon these blind men with their heart. They were saying, shut up. But Jesus is looking upon these blind men with his heart. And that heart of compassion is going to move him to do something about their blindness. And Jesus reaches out and touches their eyes. And they see. Can you imagine, folks, with me a moment? The first face that these blind men had ever seen was the face of Jesus. The face of Jesus. I believe when their eyes opened, they were looking into that compassionate face of Jesus. So many times the crowd hadn't seen that. Many times you and I in our life, we haven't seen that we're looking into the face of the compassionate Jesus. And what they decided to do, they decided to follow Jesus. Do you realize these blind men went from sitting alongside of the road just begging? That's what they had to do to earn a living. And now all of a sudden they're going from sitting alongside of the road blind with eyes that they could see everything that they've never been able to see before. And they start following Jesus. And they're going to see things that they never dreamed they would see. And that's pretty special. You know, there was a blind songwriter. Her name was Fanny Crosby. She wrote many hymns. And they're beautiful hymns and speaking about a relationship with this one Jesus. And she had never seen another person. She had been blind all her life. Somebody one day said something to her about feeling sorry for her because she was blind. And she said, you know what? I'd rather be blind than when I die and I go to see Jesus. Jesus' face will be the first face I will see. That takes love, folks. That takes understanding that the difficulties that we face in life, if we could see the face of Jesus and see that compassionate face as these blind men just did, I think we too would want to say, I want to follow this one, Jesus. I want to follow him wherever he goes, wherever he is going. And all of a sudden, their whole lives was tremendously changed. But I need to tell you something about blindness that you may not know. But first, I want to describe it this way. There is physical eyes, and there is spiritual eyes. There is physical blindness, and there is spiritual blindness. You may be able to see physically, but at the same time be spiritually blind. Jesus heals a man that was born blind. And Jesus wanted to teach his disciples a truth that they were mixed up on. And he also wanted to show the religious leaders, the Pharisees, that they were blind. They were blinder than this blind man was, who had been blind since birth. So first of all, what was true that he wanted to teach the disciples is that there was a teaching at that time, when Jesus was here, that blindness was the result of sin. So the disciples had asked Jesus, who did sin, Jesus? His mother? His father? Or did he sin himself? And Jesus said, his blindness isn't because his parents sinned. His blindness isn't because he sinned. His blindness has to do with showing forth the glory of God. In other words, he's saying, you know what? You can show forth the glory of God when you accept the difficulties of your life and put them in connection with spiritual eyesight. The healing revealed the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees, because the Pharisees, they just didn't understand Jesus, and they were blind to who Jesus was. And so if they're blind to who Jesus is, they're also blind to what he did. So first of all, in the book of John chapter 9, it's from verses 1 to 41, so I won't be reading all those verses, but you know what? What happened when the blind man was healed? It was on the Sabbath day. And so the Pharisees wanted to investigate what had happened. And the way Jesus did it to this man, he not only touched his eyes, but instead he reached down and got a handful of sand. And then he spit into the sand and he made kind of a little bit of mud. And then he rubbed it on the man's eyes. And he told him to go wash his face. And when the man washed his face, his eyesight came back. Can you imagine for this blind man? He'd never seen his hands before. He'd used his hands. He could touch, but he couldn't see what he's touching. But this blind man, as he brought the water, I think of it as the way they always did when I used to work in the, sometimes I helped in the thrashing when I was just a young boy. And then when it come time for dinner, they would have a big tub of water up front. And they'd say, what you do is you reach in and get a handful of that water and you go, and you rub your face and wash your face in that kind of a way. And I believe that's what he did. Took some of that water and he brought it up to his face and he washed his face. And all of a sudden, he seen his hands for the first time. Can you imagine what that's like? You'd have to imagine, what does a hand look like? And all of a sudden, he could look at his hands as I'm looking at my hands and see the fingers and all of that. He'd never seen that before, folks. And now all of a sudden, he gets the privilege to see that. He washes off his face. So when the Pharisees got a hold of him, they said, how did you get healed by this guy? Who was it that healed you? Because they said, he did it on a Sabbath day. So he can't be a God. He can't be a part of God's kingdom, because God's not, we're not supposed to do things like that on the Sabbath day. So they asked him how he's healed, and he told them, he put mud on my face and I washed it off and I was able to see. They said, well, who do you think he is? He said, he must be a prophet. That's what the blind man said. He didn't know who Jesus was. He must be a prophet. The Pharisee did not believe the blind man, and even though he told him many times the same story over and over again, he told him that story. And so they said they wanted to talk to his parents. So they talked to his parents. And they said, is this your son? They said, yes, it's our son. They said, do you know how he was healed? They said, was he blind from birth? They said, yes, he was blind from birth. Do you know how he's healed? They said, he's of age. Ask him. Ask him. And you know what? They were afraid that if they got involved in that, they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. That's the way the religious people responded in those days. He's our son. He was born blind. And now he can see. But how his eyes were open, we don't know. Ask him. He can speak for himself. They called the man again. And they said to him, how did you get your eyesight? And he said, I told you. This is about the third time he told him. He took mud and he put it on my face and I washed some white face off and washed my face and then I could see. They didn't believe him. They didn't listen to him. He said to him, I don't know who he is. I don't know anything about him. I just know that once I was blind and now I can see. And that's what he kept telling him. Once I was blind and now I can see. But those Pharisees weren't listening to him. They were hung up with the idea that they were blind, that this man couldn't have done anything because he did it on the Sabbath. So he can't be from God. They were blind. They weren't looking at this blind man out of a heart of compassion. They were looking at him as, why did he do that on the Sabbath day? Who is he? Why did he do these things? Well, you know what they did with him? They kicked him out of the synagogue. They told him he wasn't welcome there anymore. And Jesus heard that they had kicked him out of the synagogue. He called a man and wanted to talk to him. So he found him and asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. He wanted to believe in whoever this was that brought about this healing. Jesus told him, you have seen him. He is a person you're talking with right now. I got to remind you, folks. He had never seen Jesus. How could he describe Jesus? How could he tell those religious leaders who he was? When he walked away from Jesus with mud on his face, he was blind. He never had the ability of his sight until he washed his face. And Jesus wasn't there then. And now Jesus is saying, I'm the one that's talking to you. He is the Son of Man. And the blind man said, Lord, I do believe. I do believe. And that blind man that couldn't have told you who Jesus was, he had never seen him, no one, but yet he knew he was healed. He knew that once I was blind, and this man made me to see. You know what he's thinking? He worshipped the Lord Jesus. You see, those Pharisees were spiritually blind. And when they heard Jesus say something about that blindness, what ended up happening was they asked a question of Jesus, which I'm glad that they asked, even though they didn't get the answer. They said, are you saying we're blind? Jesus is saying, you know what? you're not listening to the truth. And dear people, the same is true for you and I today as we bring our service to a conclusion. If we're not listening to the truth about Jesus, we are spiritually blind. And spiritually blind leads to a lot of difficulty in our life. And what we really need is a touch of the Master's hand. We need to realize the truth that this one Jesus one day took them hands that had touched and helped so many people. Them same hands received the spikes in their hands. And now spikes nailed him to the cross. And as he was nailed to that cross, you know what happened? He died for your sins. And he died for my sins. So we're going to listen to a song as we close that says, those scarred hands, they've done so much for me. And you and I, what we should do is bow down and worship him. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you.
Just to